Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Karate Cafe. I'm Pete Shambo, and with me tonight is Paul Wilson. Karate Cafe is a podcast where we discuss the everyday aspect of the martial arts, what you and your buddies talk about on a Friday night around a table. That's where we try to go with Karate Cafe, and then after that, after you listen to us, you can go to karatecafe.com/forums, and you can join the discussion. Evening, Paul. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Pete, how you doing?
Not bad. What's anything new going on in your life tonight?
Well, just trying to keep it real and trying to stay within the deepest martial principles that we all hold so dear.
Okay, there you go. So, well, you had an interesting topic. We batted back and forth a few topics. Paul had an interesting one tonight. Tell us what you were thinking, Paul.
Well, I just really wanted to discuss the whole concept of compliance in martial arts. I know our good friends in the martial arts field and the UFC guys kind of bag on traditional martial arts a little bit, and they also kind of bag on, you know, styles like, you know, Aikido, which is a traditional martial art, I guess, and the way they train. And, you know, there's an accusation of, you know, being too compliant. You know, basically they don't think that that's, you know, quality training.
Okay, by compliant you mean when working with an opponent, the opponent being too helpful or not giving enough resistance, right?
Exactly, just like, you know, essentially, you know, maybe like somebody, you know, grabbing your wrist and then just standing there while you do your technique, and then maybe when you do your technique, if it's a throw or a takedown, just kind of going with it.
Okay, yeah, I understand. Yeah, that kind of, it gets me too. I don't know. To me, martial arts is as much mental as it is physical, maybe more so. And I think the people that don't understand compliance, what I immediately think of is white belts that don't understand. You know, you might be doing something slow motion, and a white belt doesn't understand, or a lower rank doesn't understand that what you're doing is one step at a time, and they'll do something that if you were going at full speed wouldn't work, but it works because you're going at half speed. So they don't understand the compliance.
Right. Well, I think, well, the way where I come down on it is that I think that the people who charge at traditional martial arts, you know, are too compliant, you know, and in general. I think one of the things that's really going on, and I've said it on quite a few boards, is like, you know, I think it's very, you know, people are just throwing generalizing terms, because, you know, I haven't trained at every dojo, everyone in the world has not trained at mine, so they can't say that, you know, every karate school does it this way, and every jiu-jitsu school does this way, and every aikido school does this way. So, you know, you really can't, you know, compliance is a bad thing. My swing at it is, you know, I've never seen a martial art, and I've never heard of, you know, any type of martial art where you haven't been compliant at some point. You know, I think where the rubber meets the road is, you know, when do you start easing back on that compliance and start adding resistance?
Well, I think it comes from, hold on. I think there needs to be an understanding that what the compliance means. It doesn't, you know, it's not real world. It's not street level practice. It's something that's done for the purpose of compliance is for training only. It's not like this is what it's going to be like on the street. I think if that's what I mean about you need to use your brain, you need to understand that that's what it's for, is for the training aspect only. And adrenaline is going to take care of a lot of the fact that your opponent on the street isn't compliant.
Yeah, you know, you hit the nail on the head. You know, it's one of the things that, you know, that people have to understand, and I guess that, you know, people as martial artists and the people that are making these claims are, you know, you can sit there and say, you know, Aikido sucks because they're all compliant. And it's like, well, no, the people who are practicing Aikido at some point have to make that decision of, you know, when are they going to start toughening up? You know, same thing with any martial art. You know, my students all start out slow. You know, when we line up for doing self-defense, and I'll demonstrate the technique a couple, three or four times. And, you know, I might do it a little bit faster to show them kind of how it goes, or, you know, kind of where it's going to go. I might throw a couple extra sexy moves in there. and then they'll line up, you know, across from one another and grab, and then it's like lightning, and I'm like, whoa, you know. And it may have been a technique where I go, you know, I wouldn't teach them this, but, you know, it's like, okay, this is how you break somebody's neck. And they'll immediately, you know, it's quick, and, you know, and trying to make it look good, trying to, you know, I guess, you know, show off for themselves, if nothing else. And, you know, I always tell them, slow down, you know, take it easy. This is a process. Break it down, you know, get your body used to doing it. Mm. And, I at some point, you have to be compliant. You have to be compliant, really, on both ends. You know, you have to be slow as, you know, the toy, as, you know, applying the technique. As the uke, you have to comply a little bit so, A, you don't get hurt. And so, B, that, you know, the person doing the technique feels how the technique is supposed to work. And then, you know, we'll do a couple slow, and then a couple three, maybe medium size. And then as I'm watching the students, I can kind of see when, you know, they're kind of getting a little sloppy, and they're kind of just like grabbing and just kind of going through the motions. And that's when I'll say, okay, grab them a little bit harder. And what I usually do is, after they do it 10 times, is I'll try and grab somebody and say, okay, do the technique on me. And I'll resist.
Yeah.
And if the technique, my satisfaction, they don't, you know, it won't work when I'm resisting, and they weren't training.
Yeah, well, I've never discussed this before, but a lot of times when I'm learning or brushing up on a technique, I learn as much from being the uke as I learn as much from being the uke as the other way around, because sometimes you need to feel how it works from the other side. And maybe compliance comes into that too. Part of the reason I'm compliant is so I can get the feeling of what my attacker will feel if I do it right.
Absolutely. And my take on compliance is, and I've heard our regional director here, John Shipes, he said it at Tuate Camp many times. He said, you know, if you do this technique right, they're going to race you to the floor, because the pain is, you know, where they're standing, or, you know, where you're driving them.
Yeah.
If you're doing an arm bar and you press your arm and send in, you know, putting that leverage on the arm, the only way to ease that leverage is, you know, to go the opposite direction, to go down, or to get ahead of it.
Yeah, to follow the pain.
Exactly. So, but what he says is, they'll race you down. They're going to try and beat that pain down.
Yeah.
You know, and I agree. And so when I'm the uke, and when someone's putting a hold on me, if I'm not deliberately in my mind saying, okay, I'm going to help these guys out by resisting a certain amount, that's what I'll do. I'll get there ahead of them, because I don't want to get hurt myself, especially if it's somebody that, you know, maybe I'm not confident in their ability or whatever. And the way that works out on any time I've ever, you know, rolled with people, like, you know, I've fought jiu-jitsu guys, well, fought, not professionally, everyone, you know, I've tangled with jiu-jitsu guys in class and in training sessions and stuff like that, and wrestlers, and it's always held to me that if I've been compliant until I get compliant, it's served me better. You know, it's meant I've landed easier. I've, you know, been able to, a lot of times, either roll out of it or get out of it quick, and safely, which is what I'm trying to do in defense is trying to just get out of it. But, you know, or I've been able to maybe try and do a reverse on him if, you know, I knew enough to be able to pull a reverse on him. So by using that compliance to my advantage, I take that control away from them.
Yeah, exactly. But because, well, I think what I pull away from the mixed martial arts guys is that, you know, you shouldn't, by not being compliant, you're doing more than one technique, you're learning counters. I think, and I think you just said this, that by being compliant, you learn a counter for that specific technique. Maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally. But eventually it comes to you that there is a counter to it.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to see it, you know, either on the way down or see it by the way they're moving. And in case of, you know, you're doing whatever technique you're doing or is being done to you, and in the course of their movement, you're going like, hey, you know, their body positioning is as such that I can hit them here and they'll throw them off balance, or this is where I get a chance to counter it and, you know, reverse that technique. You know, but on the other end of the, you know, or as I like to point out, is, you know, like, even, you know, guys who are training UFC, guys who are training, you know, competitively, they don't go 100% all the time. Yeah. You know, those guys can't sit there and, you know, crank on each other's arms and crank on each other's legs and, you know, bang on each other's face over and over and over every class. You can't. And if that's the case, you're being compliant. But you know, a sparring partner is, you know, someone that is supposed to raise your game up but not try and knock you out. And if that's the case, they're being compliant.
But and also, I don't know. I'm just throwing something out here. If you're thinking of your next technique, if you're the UK, and if instead of being compliant and just doing the prescribed drill or whatever, if you're thinking of the next technique, you're not taking time to study what the other person's doing. So you're not, you may be thinking of a good technique, but if you took the time to study, maybe you'd learn something else.
Right, you know, and so I guess the charge for someone who is, you know, being compliant is to, you know, bring your game up once you've, you know, gotten what you can out of that, you know. You know, like I say, I'm pretty compliant. When someone throws a technique on me, 9 times out of 10, I really go with it, because then that way I hopefully can come around it and reverse it. You know, but nothing is gained by my partner by me being, you know, silly putty all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to rigid it up, and you know, when I'm like at one of the Tuatha camps, you know, I'll go, one of the ways I do it is I let people know, like when they put a lock on me or something like that. There's a couple of times where I'll go as far as I can stand. You know, I'll say go ahead and you know, you can put more pressure on, because then I'm also, it gets me used to that, you know, the feeling. It's just like Koteate. It gets me used to being put in that lock, you know. Yeah. Not 100%, but enough to where, like, if I'm put in that lock and it's somebody who is, you know, if someone puts me in a lock who's better than me, then they're better than me anyway. But if there's somebody who puts me in that lock who's not better than me and is not really adept at putting that lock on, I can adapt to it because I've had that pressure put on me already.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you know, if you know, all you're going to do is, you know, just let someone kind of guide you through a technique and then throw you on the ground, or leave yourself open all the time if you're, you know, doing stand up. Leave your tickets open all the time, or you know, if it's a, you know, cheesy shot, you know, give somebody the point, or you know, call it what you will. Even, you know, that to me and to my mind, that's compliance. You know, if you're point sparring and you hit somewhere, you know, in the general area and they give you a point, well, that's compliance. And that's not helping you. You know, that's not helping you pick your target.
Yeah. Yeah, I see your point. I don't know. Hold on. I think there's something to be said for both being compliant and not compliant and fighting a little harder. But I think that it all, you have to decide who your opponent is, who you're working with, not necessarily your opponent.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to, it comes down to the, you know, personal responsibility for your art, for your training. You know, I mean, if you're doing it that, you know, if you're taking martial arts for just, you know, you're obviously not going to go as hard as the guy who is maybe taking the same art for, they want to be in competition. They want to, you know, either train, you know, to go to tournaments, or they want to train to fight professionally, or, you know, whatever. They're obviously going to want to train harder. But, you know, they can't necessarily think they're going to drag you along with them. And you, as their partner, knows, like, well, you know, maybe you should bring your game up a little bit to give them, you know, a good shot, because you're going to learn something from them, they're going to learn something from you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's about, I'm about out on this topic. I it's an interesting topic, but I think we both agree on it, and I'm not finding anything to argue with you about.
And you're ugly.
Oh, that too.
Oh, see, and you even agree with me on that. But we'd like to hear what you, yes, you, the listener, think. And where would they be able to get back to us on that at?
They could get on the forums at karatecafe.com/forums and let us know what they think about it. I'm sure we've got a few people on the boards that are MMA fans, and let's see what they have to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, I like to, because, you know, kind of talked. I think I told you guys, or told you last week, I was on the boards with some guy, and he fights professionally. He's got but he was constantly doing battle with people on the boards, and for a little while his arguments were essentially like, traditional martial arts suck, and they don't train you to fight on the street, and and it was like, shut up, I fought professionally, I know, I've been a bouncer, blah blah blah, and that kind of stuff. It just gets really old with me after a while. And if it, then at some other point about some other topic, he was posting, and he wrote a really long, a fairly long dissertation, and it was like, look, I've got black belts in two different traditional styles. I trained in judo. I trained in this. I trained in that. For my money, training for mixed martial arts, and now I fight professionally, and I think that trains you better for the street than just training with a traditional martial art. And I emailed him privately, which, because, people on the board, you can do that. You don't actually have to just get on the board and go like, yeah, you suck. You can email the person privately and say, yeah, you suck. but I emailed him privately and said, that was great. That's what I would like to see more of on boards, instead of people just going like, you suck, shut up. Or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu rocks because, blah. That it's your opinion, and everyone has one. Well, and that's great. If in your opinion, and in your experience, that I take it more from a guy who's been doing martial arts for 10, 15 years, than somebody who just started in a frappin' at the dojo down the street and just Kool-Aid and thinking everything's the greatest.
Well, I'd have to say though. To be a little controversial, I agree with him. I don't think that martial arts teaches us how to fight on the street. I think it teaches us how not to fight.
Well, then that's kind of my point. A lot of the boards are, it's where you're looking at it. If you're training in martial arts, and you say like, ooh, it doesn't teach you how to fight on the street. To me, I'm like, well, yeah, maybe. I've known some guys that can fight pretty well. But I don't want to fight. So, and a lot of them say, like, I don't like all the philosophical stuff. I'm like, okay, point taken. You can train in styles that don't have quite so much of the philosophical part, but that's the part I like.
Yeah.
And you can have, there's an instructor down here in Dallas who teaches what is essentially supposed to be kind of the same style I teach. But... some religion, and we've talked about this before, and I'm like, no, I think that's not right. But that's the component of the art that he thinks needs to be part of it all.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like somewhere between that end and a mixed martial art guy maybe is the promised land. I don't know, but it's for each person. It's the same thing with compliance. How much compliance you want is, how much you want to fight. What are you using martial arts for? Are you using it for a good workout? Are you using it for, purely for defensive? Are you using it for, getting into a fight with somebody? Well, and there's going to be, discussions all along that range.
Well, that's the one thing that I've always said about, I guess our style is where I have most of my experience. But everybody takes something different from the art. You have people that they're there just for exercise. They really don't want to, that's what they're the customer, not the student. But then you have people that are students, but they want to study more of the traditional side of the culture as well as the art. Then you have people that maybe want to study Buddhism as well as the art. Then you have people that want to study the art as it applies to self-defense. And that's, everybody's taking something a little bit different.
Right, and I think one of the problems that, especially with the internet now that everyone can talk to everybody, is that there's an extreme lack of tolerance on the part of, it's like, I don't want to fight professionally, and I don't want to be in a fight, so I don't want to train that way, I don't want to train hard, I want to measure compliance, and, the guy who trains, Muay Thai can sit there and go like, well... you're not going to be able to fight on the street. And I'm like, you're damn right, because I don't want to fight on the street. So my focus on my training is not fighting. And of course, everyone's going to, I'm sure right now there are people who are getting on the computer. Well, you know, sometimes, you know, as we all learn from the Kenny Rogers song, sometimes you got to fight when you're a man or a woman.
Well, yeah, you prepare to fight, but that doesn't mean that you're going to fight, But I don't know, being ready to fight, being prepared, being able to fight is not the same thing as fighting. And I strongly believe in being aware of your surroundings and being ready to fight, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to fight at the drop of a hat either.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and some of the people on the boards have talked about, you know, that they get in fights all the time when they go out, and I'm like, okay, well, there's the problem. Or the people they're hanging out with are always getting fights, and I'm like, well, there's the problem. you need different friends. You need to take a different outlook on life because, yeah, you need to train to fight because you're obviously always getting into one.
Well, you know, I can't prove one way or another that my martial arts training has come come to help me, but there's been situations where I haven't fought, where I've been in a situation where it was more or less of a showdown, and my martial arts training gave me enough, you know, just basic confidence to stand there, and 9 times out of 10, that's all it takes, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've been in the exact same situation where, yeah, I've been. It was, you know, right on the ragged edge of a fight. I mean, I knew it was, and I was, yeah, had that whole, you know, Zanshin. I was, you know, yeah, ready to, let's fight. You know, if we have to fight, we have to fight. I'll do what I have to do, kind of thing. And it was diffused, and somehow, you know, either the person walked back because maybe they, you know, got that zen, like, oh no, this guy is really ready to go out. Or, you know, I was able to do a technique in one case, which totally diffused the situation. And it was a physical technique, but it totally stopped the altercation. You know, or on a physical point, you know, there was still more, yeah, screw you kind of things going on. But, and through, you know, my training put me there, you know. And I didn't have to fight. You know, and then there's been cases where, you know, like, where it looked like I had to fight, but I only did as much as I needed to do, so it didn't escalate into a huge fight, you know, and as a martial artist, I mean, and as an instructor, that's where I want to see my students. I don't want, you know, and that's where I want to see myself.
Yeah, and to come back around to our topic, kind of, I did have this thought on compliance, is when you are in a situation, whether it's a fight or if it's leading up to a fight, just the fact of working physically, whether your uke is compliant or not, just the fact that you work with people and you're used to seeing fists and you're used to seeing somebody put their hand at your throat, just that helps you in a fight.
Yeah, you know, the actual physical, you know, koteate. I was explaining to my students the other day, we were doing koteate drills, and I said, you know, you hit soft in the beginning. You hit a little hard. You find that point where, okay, this is just about as hard as I really want to be hit in training. Okay, and that's the point you run with for a while. And then, you know, one night you had a cup of coffee before you came to class and you push it, you know, 10% more. You know, but the point that I made to my students was, and you know that you can take this much pain. You know you can take this much pressure. You know you can take this kind of a hit. So if you do get hit that way, it's not a shock to you. And, you know, I said, and so you need to push it, you know. So there's a certain point where, you know, I wouldn't encourage my students to, you know, hit harder or kick harder because it's not going to do anything but hurt you or hurt your partner. And, you know, it's, yeah, in a fight, the adrenaline's going to kick in, you know, the fog of war is going to go on, and, you know, maybe that's going to take up from that extra, you know, 10% that you need.
But, no, I don't know if I've said this before. I don't know if I've said it on air before, but when I took a style, a hybrid style, when I was in my teens, in my late teens, and the first thing you learned, I only took it for a few months because it was basically the white belts were used as cannon fodder for the upper belts. But the first thing we learned was not to flinch, because if you flinch, chances were you're going to flinch into the punch that was coming at you. And after about, a month of taking it, I was at a bar, and a guy came up, and he grabbed my throat, and I didn't flinch. All I did was look at him. And there was a second pause there. I didn't obviously I wasn't far enough that I knew any techniques, but the fact that I didn't flinch gave him enough of a pause that he took his hand away. He said, "Oh, sorry, you're wrong guy," and he walked away.
Oh, well, yeah, and see that's you know, that is kind of a progression of what I was, you know, that if someone comes up and, you know, takes a swing at you and hits you, you know, if you can take that shot where, you know, ordinarily you would not have, but, you know, you had trained up to where, you know, because you, when you're sparring or you're rolling around the ground, you may catch an elbow, you may, you know, you misjudge your space, and you get a crack, you know, and instead of, you know, rocking back a little and going like, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen, you just keep going. That's where you want to go, and that's where you were on that one, where, you know, you didn't, you know, react to the fact that, you know, someone had grabbed your throat. You said, like, well, keep going.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where, you know, I think that Koteate and those kind of drills, and, you know, being, you know, alive in your techniques and alive in your training and being reactive in your training. You know, don't expect the guy to stop because you've done a technique, you know. There's a lot of times that when I take somebody down or I'll put them in an arm bar, and they go to the ground, you know, I'll hang on to them and say, like, okay, now move. Now get up to see where their body's going to move, you know. Or, you know, I've got some of my students that are a little froggy, and so, you know, I'll do a technique, and then I'll let go of them and go back, and they'll, like, take another shot at me. So now I've, you know, got to adjust to that, which, you know, could also happen to you. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we're having a little problem with the Skype. Are you still there, Paul?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Kez, you're dropping out every few seconds, so I apologize to the audience. Well, not every few seconds, like you're dropping out for a second every minute or two.
That's no good.
Yeah, well, it happens. Yeah, I've lost my train of thought. But, the one thing I don't think we stress enough, and this kind of plays into compliance, is that when you're sparring or when you get in a street situation, if you do end up in a fight, you're going to get hit. I mean, so many people come into the dojo thinking that they're going to learn how to come out of a fight unscathed. And maybe... I'm sorry?
I was going to agree. I mean, I tell all my students, I said, you know, no one ever, you know, doesn't get hurt, you know, for the most part, if you're in a fight. In a defense situation, someone comes and sucker punches you, you know, whatever, your hand's going to hurt. You know, if you punch them, if they punch you, you know, somebody's going to get hurt. And it's generally going to happen on both sides.
Yeah, well, there was one seminar I went to where we were learning knife defense, and the gentleman teaching us says, you're going to get cut if somebody comes at you with a knife. You just have to pick where you're going to take your cuts. And I think it's the same thing even empty hand fighting. You're going to get...
That's true.
You know, you're gonna get hit. You just have to pick how you're gonna get hit, where you're gonna get hit, and you have to be ready to get hit. And maybe compliance does. Maybe there's somewhere in between compliance and giving a lot of resistance where you can make, especially the newer students, understand that, you know, that. That they have to understand that they're gonna have to get hit once in a while, or not have to, but they are gonna get hit once in a while.
Yeah, it's ridiculous to be in a martial art and, you know, not expect to be hit or to be kicked, and I think maybe that's what some people are complaining about is from a compliance standpoint, is, you know, they're, you know, and I've heard about it and I agree, you know, the dojos that no one ever touches anyone. I mean, you know, when they're teaching kids, that's something else, but you know, when you're a group of adults and you're training in a self-defense art and no one ever takes a swing at somebody or hits the ground, that's it, they're high.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, well, is there anything else you want to talk about tonight, Paul?
Actually, yes. I have yet another topic for our things that make you go ki, or, you know, in the running... And the many other titles, What You Punch About Willis, or Things That Make You Throw Up in Your Mouth a Little, is my personal favorite. But I think the Things That Make You Go Ki may be the official.
Okay.
Anyway, and my beef with this is, and I've seen it actually today. I saw some a couple of glaring examples are martial art websites that are so poorly constructed, so cheaply done on the fly. And this is coming from a guy whose only website is a MySpace page. Okay, people. Is
yeah, but it's a nice MySpace page.
Aw, thanks, buddy. Well, you know why? Because I used the spell checker.
What's that?
Folks, you know, the apostrophe S is only supposed to be in a possessive, folks. You know, Japanese, from what I understand, and I could be wrong, doesn't have plural. Yeah. There are no dojos. There are no size. You know, basically, you know, if you're going to put up a website and you're a martial artist, spell check that thing. Have somebody go, hey, read this.
Yeah.
And see if it makes sense.
Spell checking, especially if you're, whether you're a nonprofit or not, especially if you're trying to make money with it, or like I said, nonprofit or not, if it's a concern that you're trying to get some funds out of. And another thing, my pet peeve is, beyond spell checker, R and R are two different words. You know, are you going to the dojo is A-R-E. Our dojo is nice is O-U-R.
Yes, and there, you know, their skills, or I'm going over there. You know, it's basic grammar, you know, which yeah, I have a tenuous grasp on at best sometimes, but you know, it's a website.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to go live with it until you're ready.
And, well, look at it this way. If you're running a dojo, you want your dojo to look as professional and as well done as possible. You don't have your bags laying all over the floor. You don't have the, you know, you have your weapons, if they're on display, you have them displayed nicely, you know. Why would your website be any different?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and for the love of God, you know, if you're going to have... And then, you know, we kind of talked about this with our, you know, our showcase and whatnot. We talked about a week or so ago. It's like, you know, if you're going to post all this cool stuff that you do, be able to back it up. You know, be able to have some dates, have some, you know, have some sort of criteria to let people know that, you know, you're not just blowing smoke. Yeah, especially, you know, if you're talking about how you're the head of some international association or something like that, you know, if you've got enough students to be an international association, you got enough money to make a decent website.
Exactly. Speaking of somebody, I haven't updated the Karate Cafe site in a while. I really am meaning to do that, but so maybe I should take some of our own advice here.
Yeah, no doubt. I actually, if anyone gives a crap, on my MySpace page, I posted a couple of videos from a demo we did the other day. And if you're a MySpace member, there's also some pictures from said demo. And then what I'm trying to do with that is I'm just post a couple of just tasteful little videos. You know, here's another example. I was looking at a website the other day, and it was a picture of some knife defenses. And it was like the first... the defenses themselves were kind of questionable from my standpoint, but that's neither here nor there. But what I did get out of it was there was like a picture, the guy was sticking the person with the knife, the person was blocking the person, still had the knife in their hand, and then like the next picture, some sort of magic happened, the knife was gone, and then they went right into the line. What was the disarm?
Well,
because like whatever technique was before that wouldn't get rid of it, would not get rid of the knife.
Were there captions to explain it?
There were, but they didn't say, you know, that, like, you know, this blow will disarm the person, you know, so I was like, well, where'd the knife go?
Okay, well, you know, it occurs to me that not everybody, you know, there's martial artists and there's geeks, and sometimes they're the same person, sometimes not, but if you have a website, I mean, if you don't know about YouTube, learn about YouTube. You can post, it occurs to me that some people might put pictures up because they've been told they don't have the bandwidth for video. They could put it up on YouTube. And
exactly. I mean, I did it with the MySpace just because, I mean, the only reason why I put them up there was because, woohoo, I could. But, you know, I was used to be a videographer, so I'm pretty cognizant of, you know, I don't want to go that crazy. Plus, you know, when it comes to posting video, you want to, you know, you want to make it look really good. You want it to, you know, so it's, you know, it's just, it's a little too much pressure and it's a little too much stuff for the site, you know.
Yeah.
My big beef for this segment is just, you know, from the text. Just,
yeah.
You know, pay attention to the text. Use punctuation. Use, you know, good grammar. Use capitalization. And don't, for the love of God, no red backgrounds.
Yeah, and I was going to say something.
Lettering.
I was going to say something about the lettering in the background. No dark green lettering with green background, or, you know, make it so people can see it. And so it's pleasing to the eye. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing it on the cheap and doing your own website. You know, doing something at even is GeoCities still around, or is it called, it's Yahoo owns it now.
Yeah, Yahoo. Yeah, but GeoCities is still there, though.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with using that or MySpace as long as you stick inside their terms of their license agreements. But, you know, make it so that when you look at it, it's something you can read and you can understand. And remember, it represents you, and especially if you're doing it for a dojo, it represents your dojo. It's what people are going to think of your dojo is what they're going to think of when they see it.
Yeah, exactly. As a former model once said to me, simplicity is the key to elegance, and that's the same thing goes with websites.
Was that Billy Joel's wife or?
No. No, we don't hang out like we used to.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. So, well, anything else for tonight, Paul?
No, I think we pretty much run this one right into the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, audio and dogs and cell phones and.
Yeah.
And me losing my train of thought, I think we can park this one for tonight.
Yeah. Well, I apologize for the... this is after talking about how making your content look nice. I still go by the adage that when it comes to this podcast, the content is what people listen for, not because it sounds good.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Here we go. And... well, you've been listening to another episode of Karate Cafe. You can join our forums at karatecafe.com/forums, or you can email us at Paul.
At karatecafe@gmail.com, which I think he just said. Or you can go to the forums, like we say, at karatecafe.com/forums.
Okay, and with the sound of dogging barking dogs, that's it for Karate Cafe.